Good evening, church.
Good evening.
I just thank God for our pastor. You know, our pastor is a man that wants to see young men handle the word of God. And I'm just so grateful for him allowing us to do that. And that's what I'm here doing tonight. My pastor encouraged me to preach on the word of God, and I'm just so grateful that he did that, and a lot of other men here as well have been encouraging me. And you know, when you're in this as trying to handle the word of God, so much stuff goes on. Things start to fall apart, and but I'm just so grateful. You know, I spent all of last night in the hospital with my wife, 2 a.m. in the morning, and I'm just trying to talk to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, but the Lord said, just stay the course, Andrew, stay the course.
Amen.
So I just want to thank you guys for praying for me and my family as well, and I'm just grateful, great to see you guys this evening. So before I get into the message, I was just thinking about what to preach on. And the Lord gave me Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23. And Paul, in this verse, was talking about in chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we do? What shall we continue that grace may abound? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound more? But let us pray before I get started. Our Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm just so grateful, Lord, to be able to come before you, Father God, and handle your word. And Lord, I pray for your people, Lord, that you would use the Holy Spirit, Lord, to speak to their hearts and mine as well, Father God. And Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would have your will and way, Lord, this evening, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And Paul was talking in Romans chapter 6. He was talking about, shall we continue to sin, that we, now that we've trusted Christ as our Savior, that grace may abound. Here Paul anticipated the major objections of his critics, that by preaching a justification based solely on the free grace that God of God, he was encouraging people to sin. So in Romans chapter 6, Paul answers the question. Paul was not encouraging these individuals to sin. What Paul was doing, Paul's answers to the questions of whether Christians should continue to sin or not, his answer is emphatic: we absolutely should not. First of all, when we came to God by faith in Jesus Christ, we die to sin. So I would like to read chapter 6, verses 15 to 23. I appreciate that, brother. Thank you very much. Thank you. 15 to 23. So let's read. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. In verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. In verse 19 says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield ye your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. In verse 20, for when we were servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. And verse 21 goes on to say, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I will attempt to take these verses and kind of and try to go into them a little bit, and hopefully they'll be a blessing to you as they were a blessing to me. Romans chapter 6 verse 15 says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And Paul goes on to say, God forbid. The believer is no longer under the law. As a condition of acceptance with God, an impossible condition to meet and one acceptable, and an impossible condition to meet and one designed only to show man in his sinfulness. Amen. But under grace, which enables him, but man is under grace, which enables him to truly fulfill the law's righteous requirements. So, no, we shouldn't continue to sin. The Bible says, God forbid, we shouldn't continue to sin. So, as a believer, I think we should know that we are no longer in unrighteousness. We are righteous believers now. So, Romans chapter 6 in verse 16 says, know ye that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. We cannot call Jesus Christ our Lord unless we obey him. If he is our Lord, that means if he is our Lord, then we are under his command. So 1 Peter talks about this. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. And it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then verse 14, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Verse 15 goes on to say, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So the Bible tells us that we ought to be holy in all manner of our conversation. So, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. When we chose to follow, we have a free will and a will to follow Jesus or the lust of the flesh. Hopefully, we'll follow him. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. So we have obeyed that form of teaching that which was delivered unto us. Everyone before he came to Christ were servants of sin. All of us were servants of sin. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we were servants of sin. And if we say we weren't, we make the Lord a liar, and his word is not in us. But also, I went a little further. And as we read in Romans chapter 5, that it says in that chapter that all men have sinned. Thank God we do not have to remain in sin. we who believe in Christ have, we who believe in Christ have taken on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and no longer serve sin. For a form of doctrine. In the Greek, the word form is a word for mold, such as a craftsman would use to cast, molten metal. Paul's point is that God pours out his new children into the mold of divine truth. New, meaning having innate and compelling desire to know and obey God's word. So as a new believer and as a believer in Christ, we should have a compelling desire to know God, know and obey God's word. It's one thing to know, but it's also another thing to obey God's word. So Romans chapter 6, 18, and it says, the Bible says, being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. Because we are in Christ, and he died in our place, we are counted dead with him. This is the premise of chapter 6, and Paul spends most of this chapter explaining and supporting it. Reread of this change from sin to righteousness. So 2 Corinthians. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm sorry. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So if we are in Christ, old things that we used to do are passed away. But the new things we do, those are the things that are everlasting. Amen. So, you know, it's just one of those things where as a believer, I think we should just stay focused on the Lord, and I just thank God for his word. Amen. In verse 19 says, chapter 6, it says, I speak in the manner of men. And because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, even so yield ye your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. So here Paul was saying, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. So Paul was trying to speak to them in human terms because he was talking about the weakness of their flesh. Paul's use of the word of the master / slavery analogy was an accommodation to their humanness and their difficulty in grasping divine truth. Your members, here is explained in Romans 6:13. It says, neither yield your members as instruments unto unrighteousness, unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It means that there are parts of the physical body. Iniquity unto iniquity is like a likeness of vicious animal. Sin's appetite only grows when it is fed. So if we don't feed sin's appetite, then it won't grow. So that means that we're going to lean on the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. So I think that's a good thing for us as believers. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. For when we were servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. Paul is explaining here, and he is making this clear as he can, that we will understand. He is not just speaking in parables or even spiritually, but literally so those in the flesh can understand. Sin occurs through lust of the flesh. So sin comes by when we are walking in the flesh. So I think that as a believer, like I continuously said, this was near and dear to me because I know when I walk in the flesh, I don't make good decisions. But when I walk in the spirit, I know I make proper decisions. I always ask the Lord in the morning, Lord, help me to make proper decisions today.
Amen.
So, in doing so, it says, we were free from righteousness. Ye were free from righteousness, meaning spiritually dead in sins and trespasses.
Right.
So Romans 6:21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
Amen.
For we read in James chapter 1, verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. We read specifically here that some of the fruit of unrighteousness that will keep a person from inheriting the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. So unrighteousness will keep unbelievers from entering into the kingdom of God. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10 also, I tried to get into that, and it says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's a good tough word for me, effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So none of these people will be in the kingdom of God because they won't inherit the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. This is saying that if Jesus is living inside of us, we will walk through this life as if Jesus is taking the steps himself. Self will be no more. Christ in me shall rule. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season shall we reap if we faint not. Holiness, the benefit is the benefit of being slaves to God instead of slaves to sin, the outcome of which is eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Spiritual death is the paycheck for which every man's slavery to sin, for which is every man's slavery to sin. Eternal life is a free gift that God gives undeserving sinners who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I will end here. By way of application, should we Christians who have gone from unrighteousness to righteousness continue to sin? Like the scripture says, God forbid. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, Lord, as I come before you, Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to bring forth your word. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will allow it to do that which it can do. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for the opportunity. Lord, thank you for all that you do for Bible Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray for our pastor, Lord, as he's on his way back, Lord, that you will give traveling mercies. Lord, once again, thank you for the word of God. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.